Good morning and welcome to our regular closed session. For the record, all members are present with the exception of Director Katz, and Director Lenny is excused. We have one card for public comment. Come on up, Ruben.
So I'll be quick. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, President
McIntosh and board members. So we just had the committee meeting for the AMTAC on Ledge HR. I just wanted to say, I didn't want to speak in there because I wanted to address all of you, minus the two. So I just wanted to say for Local 444 and AFSCME, and you know this from me speaking several times, either personally to use or as a whole board, my number one concern and AFSCME's concern from past years that I see in the trades training, in the trades programs here, was the lack that I see as a lack of minorities and women in these trades. Very difficult, very difficult. And, you know, we all know the civil service test is a big part of it. So with this AMTAC, it's kind of really exciting for me to see that hopefully, you know, as we move forward, you know, a couple of years down the road, we'll see how this thing pans out. And we'll see if indeed we get locals from this area applying for the jobs, which is another thing, locals. I just find it, you know, when somebody comes from way down south or way up north to apply for these jobs is ridiculous, in my opinion. I'm hoping that those two issues, again, minority hiring, women hiring in these trades can be addressed through this. And I think it can, and it's going to be some very motivated people that come through this program. There's no doubt about it. You're going to have to be motivated to get through this thing. So whoever does get through to it, I really believe that there's no doubt in my mind that they'll be able to pass that civil service test and get into the district and truly make this the district, you know, what we want to see as representative of the people that we serve. So
I'm going to throw one thing at you, Ruben.
Yes.
And that's, I would suggest you sitting down and talking with Laura and the general manager about how, and maybe general counsel, how we can make this apprenticeship program work within the scope of the civil service system, except maybe we can find a way for folks to transition more directly.
It's actually going to be on the committee, or somebody from your local is.
I'm on the committee.
Frank, okay. We just had a whole presentation about this in our Ledge HR committee on the AMTAC.
With John Folks, who is the AMTAC head, because at Aqua in November, we're going to have a presentation for Aqua.
And I would also publicly like to say I'm thankful for the district staff that have been putting a lot of time and effort into this. And there's so many people. I mean, you know, Dorian, of course, leading it, and all the other managers, supervisors, rank and file that are involved in this is tremendous. I mean, it's a lot, and we're trying to get this done by the end of the year. So I just want to say appreciate it.
Thank you, Ruben. Your comments are appreciated. And the board is very hopeful as well. That is the only public comment. We will what?
Reconvene.
I'm having a day. Reconvene in conference room 8 to discuss items 1A2, returning here at 1:15. Thank you. Good afternoon, and welcome to our regular business meeting. Roll call, Madam Secretary.
Director Coleman.
Present.
Director Katz.
Present.
Director Lenny.
He is absent and excused.
Director Mellon.
Present.
Director Patterson.
Present.
Director Young.
I'm here.
President McIntosh.
Here. Please join us for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. There are no announcements from closed session. I have one speaker card for public comment. Mr. Cleveland, come forward. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, members of the board and everybody else on the dais. I came here about a month ago with a concern relating back to the negotiations that ended back in January about the lack of what I believe overtime pay should be granted to the members of the 2019 contract team. And I hadn't heard anything, and I've been busy. I was actually checking with President Foley, and he mentioned to me that, well, there's a memo about it, and that's confidential, and that eventually it'll be explained to us by the manager of Human Resources. I'm concerned and kind of puzzled is that it's like salaries and monies that's public monies that could be dispersed to people who work for this company, why that would be a classified matter or a confidential matter. I don't quite understand that it's public funds. I'm also concerned because of the fact that this memo has been classified as confidential, that however it's dispersed, it might not be dispersed in the way that it should be or explained properly. So I'm a little concerned about that, and still considering filing a grievance over this because I don't know. I don't work for nothing. You don't work for nothing. Why anybody would be working for nothing when they're working doesn't make any sense to me. So I look forward to hearing the interpretation of this confidential memo. I understand it's going to be delayed because the manager is on her honeymoon, I heard, which is good for her. Congratulations to her for that. But I don't know. It doesn't sit right with me, so I just wanted to bring that to your attention and my comments on it. That's all. Thank you.
All right. Alex, can you comment on the timing of release of the memo has been delayed? Is that accurate?
No, but this came up a little earlier. So in a public comment during this morning's committee meetings, Mr. Cleveland came up and provided comment about his view that Local 2019 staff, negotiating staff, ought to receive overtime for negotiations that extended into the evening. And previously, management had explained that we're not paying for overtime for negotiations. It actually doesn't incentivize a conclusion. And so then we provided, at the board's request, an information memo. It was included, I believe, in just the material that goes with the closed session information. And so the intention, as I relayed to Mr. Foley, was that when our director of human resources, Laura Brunson, returns from her honeymoon, that she would sit down and explain the information. And I'm not sure that it actually has, I mean, we might be in a position to share the information, but I haven't had a chance to confer with our counsel to understand whether it makes sense to do so. Really, it just provides an explanation, as the board is aware, for why it's appropriate not to pay.
And I was just questioning the timing of having that discussion.
And so, I mean, I could have it, but I just feel that, it'd be good to have Laura, who's was involved in all the negotiations, as a part of the conversation.
Makes sense. All right. Thank you, George. That moves us to the consent calendar. Items 1 through 8.
I'll move 1 through 8.
Second.
We have a motion, a second. There are no comments or questions. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. On to determination and discussion. Marlene Dumain. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. We have a written ledge report for you today with three bills that we're asking for the board's approval of the staff recommendation. Two of the bills are intended to help funding for disadvantaged communities. These build on law from a year or so ago that provides advance funding for 50% of a grant for an integrated regional water management plan project, up to a project amount of $1 million. These bills are intended to eventually come together in some way But the bottom line is this first one, AB 2060, would raise the project amount to over $1 million. It would get rid of the sunset date and expand the types of projects that could be funded. The second bill would extend that advance payment of the grant to the second half of the project amount as well. And we're recommending a support on both of those. And the last bill, SB 929, is in response to a Little Hoover Commission study on special districts. And they found that some of the smaller districts do not have websites. And the Special Districts Association has sponsored legislation to require websites so that the public has access to information about their local public agencies. And we're recommending a support.
All right. Do we have a recommendation from LegHR? Yeah,
this morning we did discuss this in depth, and we agreed to support three measures that were put forward before us with the same recommendation of support in all cases.
Unanimous?
Oh, yes.
Any questions? Is that a motion?
It's a motion, sure.
Second.
Bill beat you.
Okay.
All right. We have a motion and a second for AB 2060, AB 2064, and SB 929. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right.
Quick federal update for you. The FY18 budget was signed, and they are going to have to immediately turn, not immediately, but pretty quickly start looking at FY19. But on the FY18 budget, there were a couple of items I wanted to draw to your attention. One is the funding for the state revolving funds is higher. It's at a near record level. They did $1.7 billion for the Clean Water Fund and $1.1 billion for the Safe Drinking Water Fund. At the state level, that means for California, for clean water, it's $122 million. For drinking water, it is about $90 million. And that's up from last year's funding levels. The other piece of note is that they came to an agreement on wildfire fighting and prevention. They've got about $4 billion in there, and they've set aside an account that would be funded for the next 10 years. This sort of a contingency fund. But the important thing about this is there's money there now, and they're going to try to spend it fairly quickly. So we'll be doing a memo on this and making sure staff is aware that funding has been provided.
And Marlene, did it do so in such a way that it doesn't rob Peter to pay Paul?
That was the intent. So what they did was they took a 10-year average over the last 10 years on what they spent and funded at that level. And then they set up this contingency account as well, with the idea that they've got a buffer that's about 50% the size of the funding amount. So hopefully, you know, that is going to be enough.
Is the money for just fighting the fires post-fire, or is there any money dedicated to doing good forest management to reduce?
So I have some detail. Okay. $500 million for suppression, okay. $614 million for hazardous fuels management, okay. $20 million for burned area rehabilitation, $530 million to fully fund the payments in lieu of taxes program. I'm not sure what that is. And then there's some policy-related language. And one piece on the policy is what is not included is some of the streamlining that was attempted to be included in Congress on these bills. It is just a funding bill. So that's our funding piece.
So no NEPA shortcuts?
Correct. That doesn't mean they're done, but at least it's not in this package.
So would that provide maybe to Richard and to Rob for UMRA to take a look at to see what kind of funding might be available for UMRA for suppression of firefighting to minimize?
Absolutely. We're going to be writing up exactly what's in this and getting the information to the right folks.
And is it federal land broadly or for Forest Service and BLM?
I am not sure if they've strictly limited it.
Okay, because so much of our watershed is BLM.
Right. And then FY19, just as a heads up, they're starting to look at funding levels. And we received a request from Senator Feinstein's office for appropriations requests. And this is different than earmark appropriation requests. And what it is saying, hey, we need examples of projects for different categories. And so what we did was we gave examples of the normal projects that we would submit for an earmark, which would be like the recycled water projects where we have the authorizations, but we expanded it out to other infrastructure. So we also put in McCallany Aqueduct relining and Walnut Creek, a treatment plant, to let them know we're trying to keep that communication out there that these infrastructure needs are not just recycled water. There's a whole range of needs. So we had the opportunity to do four. So those are the four that we picked, and they have that information. But it is a signal that they're looking towards FY19 and looking at what possibly they would be doing for funding levels for various water-related programs.
That's wonderful. All right. Anything further?
That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. General Manager, item 10.
All right. So item 10 has two parts. The first, 10A, is to approve implementation of the second year of the general salary increase in accordance with the recently approved MOUs between the district and locals 2019, 444, 39, and 21. And the second part, 10B, is to take a specific action to provide that same increase to the senior management team members, managers, confidential employees, and other non-represented employees, as we did last time.
All right. And it's my understanding that there will only be one vote for both items 10A and B, and all votes will be done by roll call. I do have a script to read, so bear with me. Pursuant to Section 54953C3 of the Government Code, the Board of Directors provides this oral report prior to taking action on the salary, salary schedule, and compensation paid in the form of fringe benefits paid to the members of the senior management team listed below, including the general manager and the general counsel. In accordance with the employment agreements with the general manager and the general counsel, the board may authorize the same general salary increases and benefits to the general manager and the general counsel as that granted to district employees at the department director level. As such, it is recommended that the general manager and the general counsel each receive a 4.3% increase and their annual salary, commensurate with 4.3% increase being granted to all district employees in this action, effective April 16, 2018. The 4.3% increase consists of a cost of living increase of 3.8% based on the consumer price index and an additional 0.5% enhancement. Additionally, it is recommended that the following members of the senior management team also be granted a 4.3% increase in their current annual salary, commensurate with the increase being granted to all district employees in this action, effective April 16, 2018. And they are the Secretary of the District, Manager of Customer and Community Services, Director of Engineering and Construction, Director of Finance, Manager of Human Resources, Director of Operations and Maintenance, Director of Wastewater, Director of Water and Natural Resources, Special Assistant for Legislative Affairs, and Special Assistant for Public Affairs. The current salaries are contained in the salary schedule authorized by the board and on file with the Secretary of the District. If there are no questions or comments, we'll have a roll call vote.
Move item A.
Oh, thank you.
B, 10.
We have a second?
Second.
All right.
If I'm just going to make a comment. I'm going to be voting no, not I just because I'm not making a grandstand on this by any means. I supported the cost of living with the contracts. I didn't vote for the contracts, and I'm just being consistent with my having how I voted on the contracts.
Okay. All right. Roll call, please.
Director Coleman?
No.
Katz?
Yes.
Lenny? Absent. Mellon?
Yes.
Patterson?
Yes.
Young?
Yes.
President McIntosh?
Yes. All right. That passes. So that's item 10. We're on to General Manager's Report.
All right. David Briggs will provide the most recent information.
Okay, good afternoon, President McIntosh. Good afternoon, members of the board. The momentum that we gathered in March with our wet weather has continued in the first week of April, and it will continue for the next 7 or 10 days when we look at the forecast. Unfortunately, the most recent storm events have been very warm, and so the precipitation that's been hitting our watershed is falling in the form of rain and not snow. And when you couple that with full upcountry storage, all that water is getting passed through right now into the lower McCallum. So if there is any benefit to the water supply right now with the recent weather, it's been to keep the demands depressed, mm-hmm. which indirectly backs up water into storage. And as you can see here, demand is very low. It's as low as its production, at least. Water production is very low. It's as low as it's been all winter long, and we're in the middle of April. I think our customer base is collectively waiting for that sustained dry and warm period to really hit that irrigation demand, and it should go up very rapidly soon here. But looking upcountry at precipitation, the March totals were amazing, and even the event that we had last week, which lasted about 48 hours, almost reached the average for the month of April just in that 2 days with almost 3 inches upcountry. And overall, we're at 95% average for the year. With the water year time rapidly running out here, within a few percentage points here and there, we will be normal in terms of precipitation, but that's not really the real story. We'll get to the snowpack in a minute. Yeah. Now, locally, as we've seen all year, less impressive rain totals. We didn't quite reach average for March. In April, the 2.25 that we got last week, it was a good start, and we should be close to normal by the end of the month, at least for the month. Overall, 69% average for the entire water year locally. Significantly lower than upcountry. Now, the snowpack at 8,000 feet, the past month or so, we've seen a steady decline. Most of that is the warm weather. Some of that was accelerated by the rain on the snow that we got last week.
Yeah, and
what we're hoping for now is just cool temperatures to keep the snow that we have up there, not have it come down now when it essentially has to be released because we're still in the flood control reservation mode for a few more weeks.
Isn't it expected tomorrow night's storm to be down to 3,000 foot?
Yeah, that's the good news, is that the forecast the next 7 to 10 days is for much cooler weather, so we might pick up some more here. That would be great to see. So statistically, about half, 50%, a little over, for depth for the year to date, and the water content is coming into alignment with the water content coming into alignment with the depth, which is indicative of that melting of the snow, the rain on the snow. It's becoming progressively more dense as these two are coming closer into alignment. Statewide, you'll see similar numbers with the Central Sierra, all about 50%. State water contractors will get a formal announcement next Tuesday. They were at 20%, and they're expecting that to go up to 25%. So it's not a normal year. It is a below-normal year, and we will end that way. There's no scenario that has it any different from here on out. Storage-wise, 685,000 acre-feet, give or take, very impressive numbers. It's gone up 20,000 acre-feet just in the last 2 weeks. All of our flood control reservation is in Comanche. And looking outward from this date at 685,000 acre-feet and projecting that to the end of the year under the 10%, the wet hydrology scenario, and the 50% exceedance, the median, we will almost fill 725,000 acre feet by the summer, and then releases down to 630 as we begin the next water year. The dry scenario, the 90% exceedance, has us a little bit above 600,000 acre feet. So bottom line, it's a below normal year, but our carryover storage will either be full or nearly full by the end of September. Thank you.
So I would just add, thank you, David, that on the wastewater side of the house, that was a pretty intense storm that we received recently, and all the preparations that staff have been undertaking put us in a position to be able to handle it all without any issues. And at the next board meeting, second board meeting in April, we'll be doing our annual water supply availability and deficiency report and to the board. So this gives you a good preview. We certainly won't be in a drought.
Great news.
And the monthly report is in your packet. If you have any questions, I can work to answer them. And also at your places is an updated version of the Speaker's Bureau.
All right. That leads us to committee reports, and please submit other items for future consideration to the general manager. Director comments?
Nope.
None? Well, I would like to thank everyone for your love, thoughts, prayers, and support on the loss of my nephew. And thank you. I just received a wonderful card, and I received one from the general manager. So it's really appreciated. Thank you. All right. With that, we are adjourned, returning here at 1:15 on Tuesday, April 24th.